so very great a salvation. So very great a salvation. By the way, I made an improved podium up here. You improvise in Germany, don't you? On the move. You know, in all past ages, how many humans have ever existed? You know, the current estimates are that there may have been above 100 billion people who have lived on the earth. But I wonder about that, because how about the pre-flood world? We know in Genesis 6:3 that the earth was filled with violence. To be filled with violence, the violent aspect of the earth was primarily people. So it would indicate that there was a fairly large population of people before the flood. And then add to that, how many people will be born in the future, in the millennium? Lots and lots of people. Who among all of these will be first to attain salvation and be given eternal life? There will be the first fruits. Those who are first fruits of salvation are unique in God's plan for His family. They are like a firstborn son. Not turning there, but citing Deuteronomy 21:17. It talks about the firstborn receiving a double portion. And it reads in the Bible, I get off my notes, I have to be careful here, but a lot for the firstborn, let me just put it that way. Since I am addressing people who have been called specifically to be in the first resurrection, I will take the opportunity to remind us of the incomparable gift that we have been given. And it has been given to us by God. The Bible reveals that the dead will be resurrected. That is a fact. And the very first one to be resurrected was Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, and I'm reading there, let's put it that way. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Colossians 1 and verse 15. Colossians 1 and verse 15. He, speaking of Jesus Christ, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. What does it mean to be first fruits? It's the term the Bible uses. It is a term used for people consecrated to God for all time. One time there will be first fruits, not many times. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 and 23. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming." Not exactly in my notes, but I want to read Revelation 1 and verse 18 as an addition. Because this pictures the Christ that we are serving right now about his comments, the things that he emphasized as he appeared in vision. Revelation 1, verse 18. "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Quite a statement. James 1, verse 18. James 1 and verse 18. Back to first fruits here. "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, of his created beings." We, you and I, our calling is to be first fruits. We are not called for another resurrection. We don't back away and wait, "I think I'll take the second resurrection." Nobody wants what comes after that. But our calling, brethren, is to be first fruits in the first resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 14 through 17, beginning in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 4, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first," the first fruits. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we, the first fruits, shall always, always be with the Lord." This is also described by Jesus Christ himself. Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31. Many scriptures. Matthew 24, verse 30. "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Quite an entrance into eternal life for the first fruits. Also, we are given more details about Jesus and the first fruits. Zechariah 14, verses 3 through 5. Zechariah 14, verse 3. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Hazel. Yes, you shall flee, as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Not us, but the next context includes us. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with him. We will descend to the Mount of Olives with Jesus Christ as first fruits. The first fruits under Jesus will receive the kingdom of God to be rulers. In Daniel, they are called saints. We are called saints. Daniel 7, verse 18. Daniel 7, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. I think I will read that one more time to make it sink in. The saints will receive the kingdom forever. Still in Daniel 7 and verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came, and it will come, brethren, the time will come with certainty for the saints to possess the kingdom. Verse 27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Saints, that is, the holy ones set apart by God, will have specific roles in the coming kingdom of God. Many positions are already determined. Is that true for each one of us? I would say yes. We have been called for a role, a place, a specific place in the kingdom of God. But some examples. David is my first. King David, Jeremiah 30 and verse 9, written long after David had already died. But note what God inspires here. Jeremiah 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Even David anticipated this during his lifetime, as we should anticipate our future in the kingdom of God. Psalm 17, verse 15. Psalm 17 and verse 15. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. We need to have that vision burned in deeply. And I apologize to my translator. I can't keep myself in the notes. I'm as bad as Mr. Link. Hebrews 11. Let us note about first fruits. Hebrews 11, and that whole chapter, of course, incorporates first fruits. Hebrews 11, verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And that would be the first resurrection. The apostles, another example to bring out. Matthew 19, verses 27 through 29. Peter, the spokesman here. Matthew 19, verse 27. I am smiling up here because I think of the battle that went on with the apostles. Not evangelists, not just pastors or deacons, the apostles. Who's going to be the greatest? But at any rate, Christ has an answer here. Back to my notes. Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration," or resurrection, "when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands," any of you have moved a lot, "for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life." This is the better resurrection. Next, the example of the elect, the saints, the first fruits. What is said of them? 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. Revelation 5, verse 9. "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals,'" speaking of Jesus Christ, "'for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation,'" not just Israel, not just Jews, "out of all of humanity, "and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Being among the elect is open to all people. That is signified in Acts 2, verse 39. just pulling these words out as so much was happening on the day of Pentecost, as people were being added, as many as the Lord our God will call. Galatians 3 backs this up. Galatians 3, verse 26 through verse 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise of eternal life, is the promise in the kingdom of God. In light of what I have already covered and have been covering, consider what Jesus said to those of the Philadelphia era of God's church. He said, as a cautionary thing, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one take your crown. And we know, brethren, even in this newness of the church in Germany, that some people have let their crowns be taken. But the offices will be fulfilled. We have something to lose, and as I said, some have. 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 through 14, is the quote. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. He had it. He lost it. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those who heard him, and is being confirmed right now? Brethren, what we do now will impact our futures. 1st fruits have a unique relationship with God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 through 10. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. John 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions," that is, dwelling places. "If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Do you believe that? Is that a personal promise from Christ for those who will be in the first resurrection? Well, indeed it is. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Colossians 3, verse 4. Colossians 3 and verse 4. "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Revelation 17, verse 14. Revelation 17, verse 14. "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings." Who are those lords and who are those kings? Well, all, there's anybody under him, but that would include the first fruits. "And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." Galatians 2 and verse 20. Again, emphasizing that we will be with Jesus Christ at his return. Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." He's actively involved in each of our lives to help us make it. "Who loved me and gave himself for me." Romans 6 and verse 8. Romans 6 verse 8. "Now if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him." Revelation 20 verses 4 through 6 is such a profoundly important statement. Revelation 20 and verse 4. It's kind of like the hook to pull me off the stage. Revelation 20, verse 4 through verse 6. Revelation 20 and verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them." Who are the them? They're the we and others like us who have been called to be first fruits. "Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. So very great a salvation, as my title indicates, and the point I'm making. "But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him for 1,000 years. We certainly can anticipate, hopefully, with great anticipation, of being with Jesus Christ. But I have this question: are we with Jesus Christ right now? At this very moment? Will we be tomorrow? Have we been in the past? At this Feast of Tabernacles and throughout our lives since being called to salvation, have we remained close to Jesus Christ, or have we stumbled, repented, stood back on our feet and continued the journey and never have turned away? Matthew 18 and verse 20. For those of us who are scattered without a lot of fellowship, hold on to this. Matthew 18 verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. There is a spirit dimension to what is happening right here, right now. The Father and Jesus Christ are aware. We don't see the Spirit. But since they say that this is what takes place, I believe it. Matthew 28 and verse 20 is this promise from Christ. Matthew 28 and verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, think about this, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Some things to think about. Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and his angels. And then he will reward each according to his works. Romans 8 and verse 18. Romans 8 and verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 1 John 3 verse 2, one of the most powerful verses in all of the Bible in regards to what I'm talking about today. 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. I believe it's kindergartus, children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Going back to the book of Revelation, we see how Christ is, the glory, the majesty. John 17 and verse 5. John 17 and verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself. Christ is asking, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Then continuing in this prayer of Christ in chapter 17, in verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them that they may be one, just as we are one, part of the family of God forever and ever. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This Feast of Tabernacles, of course, is picturing that thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. And as we heard earlier in the sermonette, it's helping structure our lives in an anticipation of moving in that direction. But there is so much more ahead for us in God's plan of salvation. That is the next step. We find this intriguing promise given to the Philadelphia era of God's church in Revelation 3 and verse 12. Without any side comments, I can get through my notes really quickly. I feel, again, sorry for the translator that I did get off a little bit, but that makes it short, and we need it to be short today. We find this intriguing promise, then, given to the church in Philadelphia, that era, Revelation 3 and verse 12, he who overcomes. Now, it's not a cakewalk. It's not easy. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. That new Jerusalem that is coming down from God, from heaven, to the new earth. And he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Knowing what we know, brethren, let's be even more diligent, as Peter writes, to make our calling and our election sure. Truly incomparable and really unimaginable glory awaits us in this so great a salvation.